What is up? Welcome to this second episode of the Top of the Dude Chain podcast. I am flying solo this evening. I'm drinking oolong tea for the antioxidants that it provides, but flying solo, man. I'm going to try and put this one on my back and just carry it for this week's episode. Jeff, co-host number one. Not that he's better than Mike, just first one I mentioned. I had a child, a little Josie, yesterday, this week. Exciting time for Jeff, and I know there's going to be some good stories. We'll wait till Jeff's back on, hopefully next week. I'll let him tell us, so we won't go into too much detail on the birth of his first daughter. I will say that outside of the parents and nurses and doctors and everything, yours truly was the first one to hold her. I held her before both sets of grandparents. Now, granted, Jeff's dad won't done hold him, just like a lot of men, just awkward with very small children. Jeff's mom is sick, so she didn't feel comfortable holding her because of her illness. Little Josie did come on. A little unexpectedly. In fact, his parents were down in the southeastern part of Oklahoma where they live, so they came up. His wife's parents, or his in-laws, will be coming up tomorrow. So I'll caveat by saying I'm the first person who got to hold him outside of the parents because the grandparents weren't here. However, there was a little, it was implied that they believe and that they hope that I'll be outside of the family, probably the biggest influence on this young woman's life. My wife was the second one to hold her, and I believe that she ranks just below me. And so that's why we were able to hold her first. We were the first two to hold her outside of the family. So it's a large responsibility, but I'm willing to take it on, and mold another young individual. May try and do the opposite of what I'm doing with my kids, just to see if that works. I'm kidding. No, but in all honesty, congratulations to Jeff. Congratulations to his wife, Brittany. Congratulations to the aunts and uncles that now have a new niece, and definitely congratulations to the grandparents. Always an exciting time. Exciting time for my wife because the mustache came off. I made a promise that I want to take a picture with Josie with the rockin' 70s mustache. I did, and I told him once that was done, I would shave it off, so it is gone. And that's where we are. Mike, my other co-host on this wonderful podcast, his daughter, or daughters, if I'm not mistaken, have come home to visit. And so he decided to spend some time with them. So my kids are in bed, and I am... I'm winging this thing by myself, but it's all right. We're going to get into it. Want to start off by talking about something that's I'm pretty familiar with. And that's sports, but more specifically, sports injuries. And what really brings that up is the Gordon Hayward incident, injury. Nothing malicious. Just went up for a shot, came down, and the man's leg, it was obvious that this man was hurt. It's not funny. It's kind of funny. His manager offers an official statement this week that says Gordon Hayward will miss the remainder. He played about 9 minutes, if not less than that, of the first game. And his manager comes out and says he will miss the remainder of the season. You think? Let me tell you when I diagnosed Mr. Hayward, and I'm not a doctor, but I came to the conclusion that he was going to miss the rest of the season when the camera panned to him grimacing in pain, and you could honestly see that his foot was disconnected from his tibia and fibula. It was that obvious. Everyone and their mom who saw his leg after he landed knew he was missing the rest of the season. But I guess to make it official, they renounced it, and he officially did. The other one is Jeremy Lin. Hayward's pretty prominent. Hayward, I would say, is the top three, if not the top free agent in the NBA last year. Big pickup for the Celtics. I'm not a big Jazz fan. When it comes to the NBA, I don't really root for teams. If I had to pick a team, if you put me in a corner and said, look, you've got to pick who you want in the finals, in the NBA finals, I'm probably picking the Knicks and the Thunder. The hometown team versus just a team that I happen to like as far as the New York Knicks, even though they're in shambles, man. They're bad. But in reality, though, I tend to root for players personally. I like Westbrook. I still like Durant. A lot of Oklahoma people are upset at Durant. I've been a Durant fan since I heard about him in high school. But more importantly, when he committed to the University of Texas, I became a Durant fan. So I stick by my boy wherever he goes. I was pumped to see him win a finals. I was pumped to see him get the finals MVP. I was pumped to see him play well. So, Kevin Durant fan, I do, like I said, I like Westbrook. I liked Tim Duncan when he was playing. I really like Kawhi Leonard for the Spurs. Now that the Parker Ginobili group is kind of rolling out, I don't mind seeing the Spurs win. San Antonio's where I'm from, so it's pretty fun to watch them, watch them play. Really like Popovich. Really like Tim Duncan. Really like Leonard. And I like the group that they're putting together down there. But Jeremy Lin came down. If you haven't seen that, his isn't as gruesome as Hayward's. But you got to feel bad for the guy. He comes down awkwardly, messed up a knee, and immediately knew. You can see him. His teammates come over to kind of help him, make sure he's okay. And you can immediately see that the man. You can read his lips, and he's saying, I'm done. And then he's just overcome with emotion. And it's pretty sad, to watch. But they came out with a report and said that he's out for the season. And that's one of those things where, and you know your body. And when he's saying, I'm done, he knew something wasn't right, and he knew it wasn't right in the sense of, oh, I'll be out a couple games and then come back. He knew he was out. I've had a couple. I broke my leg similar to Gordon Hayward when I was in high school, and it was obvious that I was going to miss some time. It was in high school. I played high school football, so it was obvious I was going to miss some time. My knee was pointing straight up, and my ankle and foot was laying straight on the ground. Completely broke my tibia and the fibula in half, probably similar to what Hayward did, and I knew it was busted up pretty bad. The other significant injury that I had was I tore my Achilles tendon, and that thing popped. And I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was playing slow pitch softball while doing it. And like I said, snapped my Achilles. I walked over to the dugout, grabbed my bag. Now, when I walk, you can walk with a torn Achilles. You're flat-footed. I was using my bat as a cane of sorts to kind of help me balance. But I walk back to the dugout, grab my stuff. My wife comes over, asks, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Nope." She asked, "What happened?" And I'm like, "Tore my Achilles." And she's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "Gotta go to the emergency room." And sure enough, got there and had completely severed the Achilles tendon. And it's just one of those things you just kind of know. You kind of know what hurt. You kind of know what popped and all that. And you can kind of diagnose it. Not saying I'm a doctor. It's just if you have any knowledge of your body and what is located where, then you can kind of. And I think I did this. This is what I did. Go to the doctor. They reaffirmed it. So, Lynn, again, when he's saying I'm done after he falls to the ground. That's just an athlete who knows his body and knows that whatever he did wasn't good. And it's unfortunate because I like Jeremy Lin. Like I said, I rooted for the Knicks, and I really liked when he came on and it kind of had a little bit of excitement. I like Porzingis for the Knicks, but that's what's going on. And the thing is, man, there's a lot of injuries going on. You look in the NFL, you have Dorial Green-Beckham, the receiver for the Giants. J.J. Watt is hurt again. You've got Aaron Rodgers hurt again. And these are significant. It's not significant because players get hurt. Players get hurt all the time. And the NBA season's still young. It sucks that Hayward was in a good – the Celtics look good with Hayward. And it really is a bad situation that he got to play 9 minutes or less. I mean, there was a little over 6 minutes left in the first quarter, so he could have even played less than 6 minutes. But it's just a terrible situation that he's in this new exciting situation and his season's done. Season's done, you know, eventually before it even started. So. Definitely unfortunate there. And then like I said, you know, you have – we're not even 8 games halfway through the season, and you've lost 3 key players. 3 arguably – you could honestly make a case for at least Watt and Rodgers that they are the best players at their position. You can make a case for Rodgers that he's the best player in the NFL right now. And Dorial Green-Beckham, you can make a case that he's one of the better, if not one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So what makes that significant is you have those three prominent players going out in one season. I remember when Brady got hurt. I mean, people freaked out. NFL freaked out, made a rule in order to help protect quarterbacks like that. So definitely unfortunate, but it's just really the luck. And that's just one of those things when it comes to these sports teams. You know, next guy in line has got to step up and take over. So it's going to be interesting to see. The Texans are doing well. I mean, it obviously would be great to have Watt out there, but I think that's probably the most that injury for the Houston Texans, they could probably bounce back easier from that than the Giants can from losing their number one receiver, or the Packers can from obviously losing their quarterback. But it's terrible because you want to see, you know, these guys play the sport for a reason. You want to see these games with these guys in them. So you never want to see those kind of things happen. And I've been accused, those of you who don't know me, I'm a big Longhorn fan. And a couple of years ago, the Sooners, I live in Oklahoma, so I get razzed a little bit because I root for the Longhorns. But admittedly, I bring it upon myself because I do a little razzing as well. But a couple years ago, BYU was playing OU, and Sam Bradford got sacked, and he ended up getting hurt. And I was ecstatic that BYU won the game. I'm always a big, a little bit happier when OU loses. But got accused of celebrating Sam Bradford's injury. And one thing I think people need to understand is a true fan, and I would even say someone who's even played any type of sport significantly, doesn't celebrate in injuries. You have an understanding of what goes in to prepare for a game. You have an understanding of what goes in to getting your body ready. So when someone does get hurt, you have sympathy for them, regardless of who they are, simply because it's not fun. And if you've been there before, you know it's not a good situation. So never celebrating the injuring of somebody. Any fan who does celebrate it. And that's a problem with sports today, is that fans can't, in my opinion, just can't separate what is essentially a game, and that's all it is. They can't involve any type of human decency into it, which is why you have all the fans fighting and all the issues. So anyway, unfortunate. It sucks. And obviously, wish it wouldn't happen. But speaking of injuries, it may not be a main story, but a story that came out, it came across my Twitter feed, is the story of Hannah Mouncey. Now, Hannah Mouncey is actually a transgender dude. The Australian Football League for women, their draft is coming up for the 2018 season, and Mr. Mouncey applied to be put in this draft, and the AFL, the Australian Football League, particularly for women, ultimately said that he would not be eligible for the draft. And without going into too much detail, the common sense approach to this decision by the AFL is the protection of the other players in the league. And they're getting a little bit of a backlash, or a little bit of ridicule for the decision. But I mean, let's really call this what it is. This dude couldn't cut it with the guys, so now he's trying to make it with the girls. It is ultimately how I look at it. It's common sense. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's taking the estrogen for the amount of time that they require for Olympics and all that good stuff. Therefore, he's at a disadvantage because he is actually pumping himself full of the estrogen rather than naturally, so it's going to make him weaker. The man is 110 kilos, and he's 190 centimeters tall. If you are one of our three listeners here in the United States, that is 6'2", roughly 242 pounds. I'll say that again. 6'2", 242 pounds. The man is the size of a NFL linebacker. And you want him to go out and complaining that they made a call to not let this NFL linebacker-sized individual play on a contact sport on the field with women. You think? Common sense. To protect the other players, listen, regardless, I can go through, I personally could go through whatever, go out and play in the lingerie football league, hey now, and would dominate. I would have a unfair, those girls are rough. Those girls can't hit. They are mean. But I would dominate. I would dominate those women. And not to be braggadocious, but 30 years, 30 plus years of producing testosterone as a man, a bone structure established since birth to make me a man, gives me an advantage over those women. This man has spent 20-something years being a man. His body has produced testosterone at an astronomical level when compared to a woman. His bone structure is different than that of a woman. I don't care what he's taking. I don't care what kind of therapies he's going through. The man is at a disadvantage. This individual is at an advantage. Let me rephrase that. This individual is at an advantage. He's walking out looking like a middle linebacker to play women who are smaller and who are weaker. And that's not a sexist thing. I'm not being a misogynist. It's just simply facts. Men physically develop stronger and bigger than women do. And when you're essentially putting a man on the field with women in a contact sport, that's going to give him an advantage. Bottom line. You know, Olympic weightlifting, which is lifts like the clean and jerk and the power clean and all that good stuff. In Australia, they allowed a man who identified as a woman to compete against women and was wiping the floor with these women. And these are strong women. He's just stronger. I mean, that's all there is to it. And I watched a video on him receiving his medal, and the reason it popped up is because a few of the women are like, "Look, I'm out of this federation that's allowing this guy to do this is puts him at an advantage. There's no point in competing against him." And I agree with him. That's not bad sports. That's just common sense. Men are going to be stronger than women. There's some strong women out there, and pound for pound. Some of the strongest lifters out there are women, if you consider pound for pound. But when a man is able to compete on the same playing field as a woman, the man's just going to have an advantage. That's all there is to it. And so she basically called him out. And the thing that boggles my mind, and I know this is pretty opinionated, it may not be the most popular view, but the thing that boggles my mind is how that individual can stand up there, receive this trophy or this medal, and do so with pride, like he's accomplished something that, I mean, just do it like he did something special. You did nothing special. Listen, man, I can walk out. The equivalent would be like me going out to my 9-year-old daughter's basketball game and posting up and backing these 5'2" girls at best down in the low post and then dunking on this 8-foot goal on them. And then when they come around the corner to lay this little weak layup, I swat it into the second stands. That's the equivalent of what these people are doing. No, and I don't know why we want to celebrate these people. Anyway, good for you, AFL. I agree with the decision. Not that it, you know, my opinion really matters, but I like the fact that somebody, rather than cave to the social pressures that are plaguing the world today, actually made a decision for the protection of the other players. They used a little bit of common sense. On a more positive note, World Series is coming up. Always fun to watch the World Series. It's always fun for me personally. I know I'm wearing a White Sox hat, but I wore this White Sox hat, and my team, the Yankees, have been winning. I bought the hat for looks. Not necessarily because I'm a Red Sox fan or a White Sox fan. Definitely not a Red Sox fan, but a White Sox fan. But it's bringing a little bit of luck to the Yankees. The Yankees are playing well, and I'm really enjoying this team. To me, I've been a fan of them since probably the late 80s, early 90s. They weren't very good back then. But I was a big fan of guys like Don Mattingly and Tino Martinez and all those guys. And then, you know, early to mid-90s, you got, you know, the Andy Pettit and Mariano and Jeter and Posada, and really enjoyed watching them. Then Wade Boggs played with them for a while. Clemens, University of Texas grad, who rooted for him when he was with the Yankees, didn't like him with the Red Sox. But it was fun. It was fun to watch them, and they were youthful, and I think you have that now. I think you have a team now where you have good vets like Tino Martinez and Bernie Williams. You have a good balance of veterans with young, exciting players. You had Didi. You obviously got Aaron Judge, who's just and I think Aaron Judge is the new wave of MLB player. And I think a lot of that has to do with the CTE stuff. And I won't go into detail on the CTE. We can talk about that later, particularly when it doesn't feel like I'm up here just rambling. But I think parents, you looked at that, the Pop Warner, the younger kids aren't playing as much football. They're playing, they're going to other sports. I think you're going to start seeing in high school and college the amount of players start to decrease. NFL is just a, yeah. Anyway, so I think you're going to start seeing the bigger athletes, because, I mean, to be honest with you, Aaron Judge is the size of a good tight end. And from what I understand, was a very good football player, but decided to go baseball. And I think you're going to start seeing guys like that. Tim Tebow. And I'm not trying to say Tim Tebow is going to go anywhere in baseball, but you kind of have to think that if Tim Tebow had known how his football career was going to go and stuck strictly to baseball, things might be a little different, because I mean, Tebow is just a physical specimen as well, and he's not a shabby baseball player, but he is years behind the guys that he's playing against as far as just the number of years he's been doing it. Had he continued to play throughout, I think you'd see a different type of player in Tim Tebow. So I think that's where you're going with the players these days in baseball and pro baseball, is that I think you're going to start seeing that you're going to see guys a lot bigger start to go to sport, because they're bypassing football. And it's not uncommon for a guy who's an exceptional player at football to be an exceptional player at baseball as well. And that's good for baseball. Russell Wilson is a good baseball player. Matthew Stafford, apparently a good baseball player. And you see these big receivers, tight ends, defensive ends, and quarterbacks and so forth in the NFL who go out and take batting practice with teams, and they are crushing the ball, man. I mean, they are just tattooing it. And so I just think you're going to see some bigger, stronger guys. And not saying baseball players aren't strong. I mean, they are, and there's a lot of it. But I think you're going to start seeing these 6'8", 6'6", guys who weigh 250 to 280 swinging at baseballs. And they're going to stay in it. They're not going to waste their time with football. They're going to concentrate on baseball, and it's good. If you like the long ball, it's real good. Aaron Judge has hit over 50 home runs this season, if you include the postseason as well. Broke the rookie record set by Mark McGwire. He knew how to hit a baseball. And so, really pumped about it, man. Like I said, you got young guys, but then you got guys like CeCe and Tanaka and Brett Gardner and Ellsbury, who are the more wily veterans. They're contributing the experience and kind of the adulthood, but they're having fun with the kids. I mean, this team, me personally, is fun to watch. It's, you know, I enjoyed the 09 season last time they won. But I mean, like, there weren't a lot of young guys on that team contributing. I mean, that was an old, more experienced team that won the 09 series. It was fun watching the Yankees beat the Braves and other teams in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, because they were young. And like I said, they had a good mix of vets, good mix of younger kids. And it was fun to watch because they were a team that was playing well, but they were having fun while they did it. And I think that's the key. And I think that's a lot of the teams that you see that are starting to win. Giants were doing it for a while. The Royals, when they were going to the World Series, Cubs last year, are teams that are just having fun while they play. And I think being relaxed going into a game, into a baseball game, is highly, highly effective. Probably more effective than any other sport, because I think baseball is one of those sports where when you talk about pitching, throwing, batting, catching, all that, the less you think about what you're doing, the more effective you are. And when you're under pressure and all that, and not loose and not having a good time, that's when you tend to make the mistakes. But I think the thing they've kind of gone into is we're not supposed to win these games, so we may as well have fun. And guys who look like they weren't going to do well during the regular season are doing very well in the postseason, and it's paying off. And they're one win away from the World Series. We do know, though, that it is potential. They gave up a 3-0 lead to miss out on the World Series. 1 year, which was terrible, but so anything's possible. But like I said, being a Yankee fan, it hadn't been fun watching them the last few years. But this team is really fun to watch, and obviously when they're winning, it's even more fun. So definitely a plus when it comes to sports. If you made it this far, thanks. If you didn't, keep listening. We are on social media. We're going to pick that up once we kind of get some of the starting. The thing here's the funny thing. The thing with this podcast is we ran, I want to say, 3 or 4 runs before we put the first one out. And the reason for that is because we had all types of issues. We recorded and we could hear it just fine in our headphones, but then we put it on in the computer on our SD card, and I mean, you could barely understand what we were saying because the static was so bad. Then we ran it again the next week and had camera issues. My camera died. So then we ran it again, and my camera fell on the floor and it broke. So then we used another one of my cameras, and we recorded, and it sounded great. Sounded real well. Not saying professional, but it sounded pretty good. But the camera ran out of battery. So the camera died long before the podcast died. And so we weren't able to get that on wax. And then same thing happened 2 weeks ago. Camera didn't work. Our camera's battery died, so we only got about 30 minutes and whatnot. And then last week, we didn't have a camera, but we had a recording device that we were going to use as a backup. And because we didn't have a camera, we used that and able to lay down the first podcast for 2 hours and covered everything from babies, mustaches, dying. That's embarrassing. That is extremely embarrassing. Dude. Anyway, got the last one out. Some growing pains. We get a little better each week. And I know you're probably saying that if this is better, then I'd hate to see what happened was previously. And you are correct. It was not pretty. And we look like three dudes up here trying to polish a turd. But anyway, thanks for sticking with us. Check us out on the social media. DudeChain88, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Check us out there. We do have, it's not up yet, but plan on having a website. DudeChain.com or topofthedudechain.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, you can listen to us on SoundCloud, or you can listen to us on YouTube, covering all those bases. But again, that's all, you know, this is going to be a random podcast, I feel. It's going to cover a wide variety of topics. Just three guys talking about things going on. As always, Top of the Dude Chain, we're out.